teacher favorites. What should we do now? Hi, James Mingvin. Looking for classroom stuff because you know we have so much here for you. But before I forget, I can't do my job without my favorite pal in the world, Mr. E. And this lesson today, actually, guys, it's sort of a lesson that we did before, and it's a second part. I didn't say it was a second part, but it is. You'll go back. If you go to Ingvid, you can see the lesson on prefixes, which, funny enough, is the beginning of the word. And this is the end of the word, which are called suffixes. Let's start from the beginning. What are suffixes? Let's go to the board. A suffix. Suf means, this part of the word here actually means under. It means under or lower. Why? When we did prefixes, prefixes meant before, which meant you put 2, 3, or 5 letters in front of a word. And that actually changed the meaning of the word. If you remember, if we did do and redo, they're not the same meaning. Do one time, redo means start again. When we do suffixes, a suffix goes on the end of the word. And I'm going to try and explain it to you by going here first. Grammar suffixes. You've seen these before. S, ed, and ing. When we have s, you know if you see a pronoun ending in s, like, a verb, I should say. She is. Goes, he goes. You know by seeing the S on the end of that verb that that verb is taking on a third person singular. In other words, it's talking about a person we don't know, right? And if it's a singular person. So that's the grammar suffix, one letter added on. And when you see ED on the end of the word, you know that that means this verb is in the past. I watch TV all the time. I watched television last night. I stopped my car in front of the house. This is something that happened in the past, not now. And when we have the third grammar ending you're familiar with, ing, they're used for gerunds. And you know, the gerund has three uses. It's either a present participle, working, talking, singing, an adjective, a climbing tree or a swimming pool, or just a noun, cooking. Yeah, I know. All end in ing, but they have three different functions. Well, these are examples of suffixes. Letters at the end of the word that change the class or the verb function, you might say, or the grammar function, but it doesn't actually change the meaning of the word. Swim, swimming, similar. Yeah? Now, how do I explain this? Well, when we do this, we do the same thing here, which is grammar specifically, but now we can change word class. And what I mean is, going from, this is just changing a verb, we're actually going to change the class from maybe a noun to an adjective or an adverb. Okay? With me so far? It's easy. We're going to add a few letters at the end of a word, and it will change what type of word is it. Is it a noun? Is it a verb? Is it an adverb? Is it an adjective? That's it. And by doing these, adding some of these, that's how we do it in English. Excuse me. So, let's take a look. These are the top three that you'll find in English. On the last video, at the end of the video, I told you, like, we don't use these for 95%, so I'll fix this now. These are the most common, and what I mean by common is most useful for you. There are many other suffixes, but these are most useful for you to kind of figure out or understand words that you'll see. Because this will tell you what's basically the meaning. So I'm going to help you with what the meaning is and how it changes it. So you can look at words and kind of go, okay, this must be a noun because I see this ending, or this must be an adjective. Sound cool? Let's go to the board. Mr. E, help me with the class. It's a joke. So you're the class now and word class. Anyway, the first one we're going to look at is MENT, M-E-N-T, government, improvement, right? When we add M-E-N-T to the end of a word, it's used to make nouns. So what you'll see is this added to a word becomes a noun, okay? And what does it mean? Well, it means an action or a process, okay? So when we talk about government, you think, okay, noun, it's the people like the president, President Obama, President Reagan, Prime Minister Harper. Yeah, I like him. Anyway, sorry, it's a process. So we talk about government is helping the people. That's what they do when they govern. When we put munt in, we talk about the institution or the group of people that help the people. Cool? So governing, the verb, means to help the people. Government is the group of people or institution of people that help the people. That's one example, but let's look here, okay? So we know it's a process or an action, which is when it happens, because we're taking a verb and adding this ending to make it a noun, something we can touch, okay? I'm going to give you a word you've probably heard before, or hopefully you don't have many of them, but you know what they are. Argue. To argue something as a verb is to try to prove something is true, or when two people fight, but not physically, verbal meaning with your mouth, they fight with each other, like, I don't agree, you agree, right? So you put forth, or we say, you say, you give an argument. What you think is true is your argument. We also do it in essays on paper. They call it a thesis, but what is your argument? Your idea you think is true, that you want to compete or fight with other people's argument. That's, see, it's a process, right? I say, you say, he say, you say. Okay, so it's the process of action of not agreeing with each other, or a verbal fight. So then you say to me, what is an argument? Well, an argument is, as I said, it could be just that, an idea that you say, I think this is true. This is my argument, my thought. So you're not actually doing it. That's the argument. Or you could have that verbal fight. You say they're having an argument because it's a process. It's ongoing. They're doing it. And you can see them fighting, like, I don't agree, blah, 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 you should wear blue socks, right? That's a verbal fight. And you say, but it's an argument. It's one form of communication. And it's a particular form at that time, okay? So here's a process, argue. An argument is when one group of people are fighting or an idea you want to prove is true, all right? What else can we say? I'll give you another one, encourage. Encourage. It comes from the French. N to put in, and courage for the heart, right? So you encourage somebody, you motivate them. And to motivate them means to say or do things to make them feel that they can do it. As Obama would say, yes, we can, okay? You can too, with Ingvid. Okay, so you encourage somebody, right? You say, yeah, you can do it, come on, yay, right? Encourage. Now, that's the verb. Encouragement may be what you do. You go, are you going to encourage your son to go to law school? Well, yeah. Well, what are you going to give him for encouragement? Will it be words? Will it be a book? Will it be the money? The money. The money. Yeah, give the money. That encourages people. It motivates. So an encouragement would be the similar. Like, it would be, you know, encouragement could be the words you give to someone to make them want to do it, or something you give them, like a book or a pen, right? And to encourage is the verb. So that's another example of how meant is used to show, right? A process or action. That was number one. Let's go down. Mr. E, are you ready? For ants. Sometimes ants has an E. I put a little E there because it might be this. It might look like this, okay? Now, this is because there is a Latin, it comes from the Latin language, and there isn't really a rule I can give you to tell you why ants are ants, and I'm very sorry about that. I did look. I'm only human. But you should be aware it could be spelled either this way or that way, okay? Once again, similar to meant, it's used to make nouns. And the meaning is also similar, very similar, because especially when we do nouns, a lot of nouns just describe action, huh? Well, when we say something like a law, you know, the law, to be practicing law, a lawyer is the person that practices the law. See, that's another suffix. ER usually means person or thing that does something. So it's not a surprise that we add these suffixes on, and they come from actions or processes, or processes, depending where you live. All right? So in this case, we're going to look at this one. This one is used to make action or process, but it also talks about a state or quality. I picked this very weird word for a reason, because it expresses a state or quality. I didn't want to talk about action or process. I wanted to show you this. Because for some of you, you're going to say, teacher, what is a state or a quality? A state is, think of love. When you love someone, it's not an action you do, but it's where you exist. Now we're getting very deep. It's gone from English to philosophed. That's it, the new one, philosophed. All right, anyway. So When I needed a word to show you this. Now, for some of you, if you're religious, or if not religious, you love your sports stars, right? Like Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, you hold them in great, you revere them. Or even political leaders or generals, right? You hold them in great esteem or revere, meaning respect. You hold them and think you give them great respect. You can say you revere something or even an idea, freedom. God, I'm going crazy. All right. But when we have reverence for something, all right, it's the quality of having this belief or this great respect for something. So revere is to have great respect. Reverence is to be in the state of having it for something or someone. You know, show reverence for the flag. So you see the flag every time you salute and you wait 1 second for all the people who fight for the flag. Yes. Right? Show your reverence. A state of respect. Okay? You like that one? Me too. There's another one called deference and defer. I'll do it quickly. When you have deference for someone, you say, you have a superior position to me, and I show this by letting you go first. So in deference to someone, you're literally saying, or you are saying, they are better and know more, I step out of the way. This is same similar state of saying, there's a state of respect for someone who is in a higher position, and I show this by stepping aside. Deferring is like when I defer to my colleague or defer to my worker, I'm actually doing the action of stepping out of the way to give them the place. I will defer to you. I'm saying you know more, so I will listen to you. Showing deference is here. I listen to you in great reverence and deference. Those are two big words. Good luck with that. Those were those students who always go, I like your lessons, but it's too easy. Yeah. Use those in a sentence right now. Who do you show deference to or reverence? And do they mean the same thing? I already told you they don't. On the quiz, for sure. And now number three, Abel and Abel, or Abel, Cain and Abel, not related, okay? Not related. But I wanted to show you something a little bit different. I've shown you how ment and ants change words into nouns. And I don't want you to think that this is all that suffixes do. But I gave you two strong cases to help you remember this is what they're going to generally do. But I have one more case, and this is Abel and Abel. But what they do is something different. When they're used at the end as a suffix, they create adjectives. They make a word an adjective. And in this specific case, what I want to talk about is how they change a word into making something worthy, which means it is good. Well, similar to good for, but if you're worth something, it has value. When something is worthy, it has value enough for something. If somebody is worthy of you or worthy for you, basically what we're saying is they have enough value that you can maintain a relationship for them. If you say this is not worthy of me, it does not have enough value that we should be together. Okay? Or good for, like good for you. So if I may, and if you can give me a second, I want to do this last one before we move. All right? Let's talk about the word love. Love is, well, it's deep.
Deep, deep, deep. Like my voice, very, very wide. It's deep.
It's deep, romantic, or sexual feeling. Sexual feeling. When I get this, yeah, you get that. You understand. Okay, so when you say somebody is lovable, what you're really saying is they are worthy of love. They are not lovable. They do not deserve or they should not be loved. They are lovable. Oh, it's lovable. Look, cute. Look at that little puppy. It's so cute. It's worthy. It has the value to be loved. And that's what Abel means here. Right? See? Worthy for. So it's an adjective. We say lovable kitten, lovable puppy, right? Lovable desktop, laptop, computer. No, you don't say that, pun, son, but that's okay. That's the next word I'm going to teach you, enjoyable. Okay? So we can also say this to use the good for is in enjoyable. To enjoy is to get pleasure. Pleasure meaning happiness from something. If you enjoy it, it gives you happiness or pleasure, right? Okay. So when we say something's enjoyable, it means it's good for fun. That's an enjoyable book. It's not that it's got value. It's valuable. It's worthy of you because it is like you and fantastic. No, it means it's good for fun. It's an enjoyable book. It's good for fun. It's good for happiness or for pleasure. All right? Now, so when you have it here, I know I don't have that, but I gave you one visually. I'm giving you one auditory speech. Why? Because there is different form. There are different forms of learning. Visual is one. I write for you. I speak. You need to, when you practice your English, not just always have it written down for you. You have to learn to capture the information through listening. I've got at least two videos on listening skills, and you have to practice them on this lesson. As I said, some of you complain that it's too easy. Well, now it's a bit hard. They're here. The information's here. If you're not listening, you're not catching. If you're not looking, you're not catching. And I'm giving you some serious vocabulary. I mean, serious! Sorry. And some serious humor. Anyway, right? Boom. So, I gave you three of the most useful. Listen carefully, because there's those of you guys out there who go, oh, but what about Ness and what about Lime? What about... I know. I've got some other videos I already checked that have some of those endings. These are the three most useful because they will appear a lot, and they're going to let you know that adjective or noun, action and process. Boom! I helped you out, okay? So we've got that. I gave you enjoyable with lovable. I gave you revere and defer. See? I hope you're listening. Okay, I gave you argue, and what's the other one I gave you besides argue? Argument, and did we do enjoyment? Did I forget enjoyment? I forgot enjoyment. That's my fault. Okay, enjoyment. Similar to this, to enjoy is to get fun or, you know, similar to being, you got it. Anyway, when we talk about someone's enjoyment, oh no, I did give you a second one. I forgot, I lied. It's up to you to go back to the video and figure out what the second one was here. Yeah, see, I'm making stuff up just to make you happy. No more of that. You earn it. You have to earn my respect. You have to be worthy of my love. Okay. Anyway, to go through it quickly, but not so quickly, we have two sets or two classes of suffixes. The first one you should be familiar with if you've done any grammar at all, and these are the grammar suffixes. They're grammar function. S, talking about the third person. ED, talking about the simple past. ING, which leads to gerunds. And then in gerunds, we talk about nouns, adjectives, and present participle. Okay? Then we talk about the second class of suffixes, which change the class of a word. And we did that here looking at how we were taking verbs and making them adjectives, right? Enjoyable or love. And we took verbs over here and made them nouns. Similar in meaning, but we changed the actual class. And this is good to know for A, what the word means, and B, how to use it properly in context. And that's what we mean by properly, in your sentence and in your language. Okay? So this is part two of prefixes and suffixes. It wasn't listed as part two. But if you know the beginning, which is prefix for pre, you should know the end, which is suf, for end. See? Cool, right? Like a Bond movie. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. E. Of course, it's always been, well, you are number one in my heart. All right? I hope this has been enjoyable for you. I got to wrap this up, okay? Anyway, no argument. This has been a valuable lesson. And I'm sure you'll show the proper reverence when you finish and do the quiz, right? Have a good one. We will see you soon.